بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقال الشيطان لما قضي الأمر إن الله وعدكم وعد الحق ووعدتكم فأخلفتكم وما كان لي عليكم من سلطان إلا أن دعوتكم فاستجبتم لي فلا تلوموني ولوموا أنفسكم ما أنا بمصرخكم وما أنتم بمصرخي إني كفرت بما أشركتمون من قبل إن الظالمين لهم عذاب أليم. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. The Almighty, the Exalted, the Lord of all worlds. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, first and foremost I advise myself and then all of you all present here to adopt a life of taqwa, and that is to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be conscious of Him azza wa jal during every single second of our lives, if we wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may He make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. Inshallah ta'ala, for today's sermon, I'm going to be talking about a very interesting individual. I'm going to be talking about a cunning individual. He's interesting, he's intelligent, but very cunning and very dangerous. He has a few names. He has a few names. But his first name, according to certain scholars, according to certain of the Sahaba, رضوانه تعالى عليهم أجمعين as well, his first name is Azazil. His first name is Azazil. And his last name is Ar-Rajim. His last name is Ar-Rajim. Now, let me take you all sometime back in history. Many, many moons ago, a long time ago, before the creation of mankind, planet Earth, our planet, was populated with species. The species of the jinn, and according to Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah in his book Al-Bidayah wal-Nihaya, the book of the beginning and the end, there were other species as well that were connected to the species jinn, and they were known as hin and bin. So there were other species that populated planet Earth. And these creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they began to disobey Allah Azza wa Jal. They started to cause a lot of corruption. They spread mischief. They started to shed blood. They were causing a lot of evil and corruption. So much to the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sends down an army of angels to contain this creation. This army of angels, they came down, they contained this creation, and they drove the rebellious ones, the ones who were the mischief makers. They drove them away to far away remote locations. Now at that juncture, what happened was there was one individual who was contrary to the others. He was very righteous and he was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ardently with a lot of zeal. He was very zealous and he was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day in and day out. The angels who came down, they observed this individual and they were so impressed by the righteousness of this individual, by the ibadah of this individual, that they took this individual up to the heavens. And this individual, his name was Azazil, later to be known as Shaitan. This individual now goes up to the heavens, and there too he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He worships Allah azza wa jal so ardently that he starts to rise in his ranks. He starts to rise in his ranks and he became amidst the angels, but he was never from the angels. كان من الجن, like Allah says in Surah Al-Kahf, he was always from the jinn. But when he went up to the heavens and as he started to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to him ardently worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he started to rise in his ranks and he became from amidst the angels until the fateful day when our Maker subhanahu wa ta'ala declared to create mankind. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفًا. And remember when your Lord said to the angels, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفًا, I am going to place on earth a creation that will succeed generation after generation. I am going to place on earth a creation that will succeed generation after generation. The minute Allah Azza wa Jal declared that, the angels responded to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah Azza wa Jal, قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَانِ. The angels, they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, are you going to place, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا, are you going to place on earth, مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَانِ, a creation that will cause corruption, a creation that will shed blood, a creation that will indulge in a lot of evil. To which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to the angels stating, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, indeed I know that which you do not know. Now in terms of understanding the ayah, a question may arise as to how did the angels know that we would cause corruption, that we would spread evil, that we would shed blood. Well, it's not that the angels know things of the unseen. It's not that the angels know the future, but rather it was because of their bad experience with the jinn. It was because of their bad experience with the jinn. They had a bad experience with the encounter earlier with the jinn. So they thought that this new creation too would tread along the same lines, and that's why they put forth the question to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now anyway, coming back to Azazil, when Allah Azza wa Jal declared that He is to create a creation, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created our father Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, and Allah Azza wa Jal commands the angels, and Azazil was amidst the angels at that time, to prostrate unto our father Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, Azazil refuses. He compares himself to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. He was the first individual to compare. He was the first individual. He was the first of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to compare. Today, it happens. People compare. The whites compare themselves over the blacks. You have racism. You have colors. You have all of these things. All evil practices. All bad practices. Practices of bigotry and paganism where we compare one another. But Shaitan was the individual who started this practice, where he compared himself with Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala state in the noble Quran? The statement of Shaytan, قَالَ إِنِّي خَيْرٌ مِّنْ, in the sense, I am better than him, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ, خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ تِينٍ, you created me out of fire, O Allah, and you created him out of clay. I am of a much more powerful substance. I have been created of much more powerful elements. Why should I prostrate unto this creation? He became proud. He was arrogant. He was arrogant and he refused to make sujood, to prostrate unto Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, thereby defying the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and resulting in him being expelled from the high rank and position he was in. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, that was the beginning of the battle between good and evil, good versus evil, where Shaitan, he swore, he at that point he makes du'a, قَالَ رَبِّ أَنظِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبَعَثُونَ, he makes a request by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, grant me time, grant me respite until the day of Qiyamah, and Allah Azza wa Jal granted him respite, and his mission, his sole mission, day in and day out, is to try and mislead as many children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Is to try and mislead as many children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. I'm sure most of you from the corporate sector, especially given that this masjid is located to a number of companies around, you would know what a CV is. I mean, these days, who doesn't know what a CV is? We all know what a CV is. If you were to have, hypothetically, a CV for this individual, who? Shaitan. We're talking about Shaitan. His first name would be Azazil. His last name would be Ar-Rajim. His country of origin would be, or rather the country that he is going to reside in would be Jahannam. would be Jahannam. In terms of his special skills, or in terms of his ultimate objective, it is to mislead the entirety of mankind. He's going to try and mislead as many people, as many children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. In terms of his special skills, if you will, disrupting family ties, breaking family ties, going into families and disrupting them, you know, breaking them into pieces, sowing seeds of disunity. This is what shaitan does. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all from his traps. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, to proceed, I would like to share a sermon within this sermon. A sermon within this sermon. And that sermon is the sermon of this very individual. This very individual. You can call it the khutbah of shaitan if you will. And this sermon will take place, that is in accordance with the ayah that I recited at the beginning, after all matters have been concluded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will be on the day of Qiyamah. When Allah azza wa jal decrees that so and so is going to go to Jannah, going to go to paradise, and so is going to go to Jahannam. At that juncture, shaitan will address the people who have been sentenced to Jahannam, and he will say, as Allah says in the Quran, وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ. When the matter has been concluded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah azza wa jal has decided everything on the day of Qiyamah, shaitan will say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعْدَ الْحَقِّ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised you, indeed Allah azza wa jal had promised you the promise of truth. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعْدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. And I promised you things as well. I promised you a number of things, but I have betrayed you. Indeed, the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true, and I have promised you. I promised you a number of things, yes. I promised you this, I promised you that in this worldly life, but now I have betrayed you. Not enough misleading the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Now he rubs it in their faces. He rubs it in their faces. Yes, I promised you, but now I am betraying you. And then he will go on to say, وَمَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُم مِّن سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَن دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. Listen, I had no authority over you. I technically did not have any authority over you. I did not force you to do whatever you did. I merely invited you and you responded. At the end of the day, you did whatever you did, and now you have to face the consequences. I didn't force you to do this particular sin. I didn't force you to indulge in evil. But rather, I invited you and you responded. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not blame me. Don't start to blame me now at this point. Blame yourselves. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Because my dear brothers in Islam, the day of Qiyamah will be such a horrifying day that we will be looking all around to try and blame others and get away with it. It will be a day, as Allah says in the noble Quran, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. A day when a man will run away from his own brother. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ. He will run away from his mother, he will run away from his father, he will run away from his parents. وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. He will run away from his wife, from his spouse. We will run away from our spouses. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ. And then وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. And his children. We will run away from our children. Why? We will be scared that our spouses will try to blame us and take our good deeds. We will be petrified that our children will try and take our good deeds by blaming us. We will all run away from one another, crying out, Nafsi, Nafsi. We will only be worried about ourselves. Such a horrifying day. A day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be so angry that he would never ever have become angry like that, nor will he ever become angry like that in the future. Allah Azza wa Jal will be so enraged on that day. Such a horrifying day. On that day, shaitan will say, addressing the people now who have been sentenced to Jahannam, he will give them a khutbah, he will give them a sermon, and he will say, فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not blame me, but rather blame yourselves. Because you accepted my invite. I did not force you to do whatever you did. You committed sins. You rebelled against Allah. You disobeyed the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is all you're doing. I never forced you to do anything. I merely invited you and you accepted my invitation. Now face the consequences. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not blame me, blame yourselves. مَا أَنَا بِمُسْرِخِكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُسْرِخِي. Now at this point, I cannot be called to your aid. In the sense, I cannot come and help you. I cannot offer you any assistance, nor can you be called to my help, my aid. I cannot help you, nor can you help me. Allahu Akbar. Look at this sermon. Look at how he is disclaiming everything. Look at how he is rubbing it in your faces now. Subhanallah. And then he will go on to say, إِنِّي كَفَرْتُ بِمَا أَشْرَكْتُمُونِ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Indeed, I deny your association of me with Allah. If you have associated me with Allah, I deny that. I deny any association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And he will cap off this sermon of his by saying, indeed, for the wrongdoers, إِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ, for the wrongdoers, for them is a painful punishment. Now before I move further, very swiftly, if you were to quickly analyze this last part of the sermon, you would notice something very interesting. Picture it. He is giving the sermon, he's talking to the people of Jahannam, and he's capping off the ayah, the sermon, by saying, إِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Indeed, the wrongdoers, for them is a painful punishment. Look at what he's doing. He is excluding himself, he's excluding himself from the wrongdoers, and he's excluding himself from those who are going to face a painful punishment. Now that sounds interesting, because we all know that obviously shaitan is headed to Jahannam and he is going to suffer the most painful of all punishments. So why on earth is he excluding himself? Why is he saying, إِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Indeed, the wrongdoers, for them is a painful punishment, instead of saying for us is a painful punishment. It's clearly understood from this that shaitan is delusional. Something's wrong with him in his thinking. He is intelligent, yes. He knows what is right, yes. He is rebelling against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes. He is sly, he is cunning, he's all of this. But he's also delusional. And this incident that took place long time back has actually disturbed him so much that he somehow feels that what he is doing is right. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, at times when you listen to this sermon, the irony of it is that most of the people who will be listening to that sermon of the devil, of shaitan, will be individuals who never ever listened to a sermon in their lives. There will be individuals who never attended a Jumu'ah sermon, and on that day they will be forced to listen to the khatib, shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. And the final point is that we would also pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah azza wa jal only allows us to listen to that sermon of shaitan in this world and not in the hereafter. In this world, yes, when we read the ayah, yes, when a scholar talks about it, yes, we listen to it. But we should never ever become of those who would actually listen to the sermon of shaitan on that day, because that would mean that you are doomed to the fire of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. So having discussed the sermon, the last few minutes that I have with you all, I would quickly like to touch on four traps of shaitan. You need to understand that shaitan is the most experienced, most oldest. He's the most experienced, oldest individual living until today, and he will remain until the day of Qiyamah, until when he will also be destroyed. But he will remain until the day of Qiyamah. Until the day of Qiyamah, and then he too will be destroyed before the beginning of the day of Qiyamah. Okay? He is old, he is experienced, he has witnessed generation after generation of mankind. Okay? You may think that you are more intelligent than shaitan, and that you may not fall prey to the traps of shaitan, but it is incumbent and it is upon you to study about your adversary. It is incumbent and it is important upon you to study about the traps of shaitan. Because he has seen generation after generation from our father Adam alayhi salatu wasalam until today, and he will remain until the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. So he studies each and every one of us. You, when you wake up in the morning, you're thinking about going to work, You're thinking about making a living. You're thinking about placing food on the table. You're thinking about supporting your family. This is what you think of. And you're thinking about obviously pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping Allah azza wa jal. These are the general thoughts that will run in your head. But you know what runs in the head of shaitan? Every single day, he thinks, how am I to mislead this child of Adam? How am I to mislead this daughter of Adam? This is what he thinks. He keeps coming up with traps. He tailor makes traps for each and every one of us. Know that according to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, shaitan yajri fi majra dam. He runs in our blood. He runs in our blood. So it's so easy for him to study us. He knows our weak points. And he tailor makes traps accordingly. So it is important that we study about the traps of shaitan so that we stay away from those traps and not fall prey to the traps of the devil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Ameen. So four traps that I'm going to talk about inshallah ta'ala. The first one is excessive talking. Excessive talking or unnecessary talking. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that what will cause people to be sent to the fire of Jahannam, a lot. Mostly what will cause people to enter the fire of Jahannam are the two openings. Two openings. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to mention the two openings. One is the mouth and the other private parts. These are the two openings that would cause a person to go into the fire of Jahannam in general. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. May Allah azza wa jal save us all. The first one, the mouth, and the other, the two private parts. Umar radiallahu anhu once visited Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, at that point, he was pulling his tongue with his fingers. He was pulling his tongue with his fingers. Umar radiallahu anhu rushes and goes up to him and says, Ya Abu Bakr, what are you doing? Ya Abu Bakr, what are you doing? Stop what you're doing. Stop what you're doing. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he responds by saying, this tongue has taken me to dangerous places. This tongue of mine has taken me to dangerous places. So he was addressing his tongue. Umar radiallahu anhu once is reported to have said, I looked at all of my friends. I looked at all of my friends and I did not find a better friend than safeguarding my own tongue. Than safeguarding my own tongue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about sins of the tongue in the Quran, such as backbiting, such as gossiping, such as carrying tales, such as slandering others, such as lying. There are a number of sins that are related to one's tongue. And they say that the tongue is at times even mightier than the sword, because you can literally break a person with your words. You can hurt a person. You can destroy a person with your words. Likewise, you can destroy yourself with your own words. You can destroy yourself with your tongue. If you backbite about others, it is akin to eating that individual's flesh. As Allah says in the Quran, أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا. Would any one of you like to eat the flesh of his or her dead brother or sister? فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. You would detest it. You would abhor it. You would dislike it. But many of us these days, we while away the valuable time that we have backbiting about others, talking bad about others, gossiping about others, lying when it comes to trade, when it comes to our businesses. We tend to lie. We tend to lie without even thinking twice, without even batting an eyelid. These are all grave sins in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to be able to secure a good life in the hereafter, because obviously this life is temporary. You're going to remain for another 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years at the most. And then you're going to move on to the life of the next, which is going to be forever and ever. You're going to live there for an eternity. Here we are slaving day in and day out to secure a good life, to purchase a good house, to have a good vehicle. Whilst at the end of the day, we all know it's an inevitable fact and it's the truth. It's staring at us in our faces that we have to leave all of what we are accumulating and go to the next world with nothing from these materialistic possessions, apart from our good deeds. We slave in and out, yes or no? We go in the morning, we come back in the evening. We're working so hard to earn as much as possible, to buy ourselves good houses, good clothes, good everything. But the irony is that we're going to leave it and we're not preparing ourselves for the life of the hereafter? What about a good house for you in the hereafter? What about gardens for you in the hereafter? What about a good vehicle for you in the hereafter? What about happiness for you in the hereafter, where you're going to live forever and ever and ever? You need to make lucrative investments. You need to invest wisely in such a way that you would reap the profits in the hereafter. Because once you move on to the life of the next, you can never ever invest again. This is your opportunity to invest. This is your opportunity to plant the seeds. And you will reap all of that in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors of understanding for all of us. Ameen. Moving on to trap number two very swiftly. Unrestrained glances. This is also from the traps of shaitan. Number one, he would try to make you indulge in vain talk, resulting in you whiling away your good deeds. When you talk bad about someone, what happens? Your good deeds are transferred to that individual. It's a transfer, like an online transfer. You don't even feel it. You're doing so many good deeds. You come to the masjid on time. You go on so many hajj, so many umrah. And you think, mashallah, my account has a lot of good deeds. But you don't realize, by your mere conversations where you talk bad about others, you're dishing away all your hard-earned good deeds to all of them. On the day of Qiyamah, you will go stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, expecting to see mountains and mountains of good deeds, whilst only a pile of ash will remain. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. You will wonder, has injustice been done to me? You will ask, where are my good deeds? I've done so many umrah, I've done this, I've done that, I woke up with tahajjud, I've read so many of the chapters of the Quran, where are all the good deeds that I've done? And it will be said unto you, because obviously everything is clearly recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There will not be the slightest ounce of injustice that will be served to any individual on that day, because Allah is al-adl, Allah is the just, the most fair. And it will be said unto you that your good deeds were given out because of this, because of that. And say hypothetically, if you don't have any good deeds in this world and you're backbiting about someone, you know what's happening now? If you don't have any good deeds to be transferred, there are bad deeds are going to be transferred to you, subhanallah. Are you ready to take on the burdens of others? Are you ready to take on the sins of others? Why do we need this? Today, this is an epidemic within our society where we can't stop ourselves from talking bad about others. There are factions, there are groups, there are individuals who spend the valuable time that they have talking bad about others, backbiting, indulging in all that is evil. And then, unrestrained glances. This is also connected. Because when people talk about unrestrained glances, the first thing that comes to mind is to lower your gaze from that which is haram. Yes, that is the primary thing. Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. You're supposed to lower your gaze. You're not supposed to look at the aura of any individual. And the aura, some people think that it's just the private parts. No, it's more broader. What an aura means is whatever is mandatory for an individual to cover. So for the men, basically it's from their navel until their knees. So you're not supposed to look at the aura of any man or woman. According to the majority of the scholars, the aura of a woman is her entire body. So you're not allowed to look with lustful glances. That's the primary meaning, yes. But apart from that, in terms of lowering your gaze, you're supposed to lower your gaze from looking at the faults of others. You're supposed to lower your gaze from looking at the faults of others. You're supposed to lower your gaze from looking at the materialistic possessions of others and yearning for those possessions. Sometimes we look at the materialistic possessions of others and say, oh, he has such a nice house. How I wish he didn't have that house and I had a better house than him. Oh, he has such a nice car. How I wish that he didn't have that car and I had a better car than him. Oh, he has this, he has that. We look at others and we start comparing like how Shaitan did. Or we look at the faults of others. We keep prying and looking at the faults of others and spreading tales about others. This is closely connected to unnecessary talking. When you look at someone, you don't give that individual the benefit of the doubt. You look at him, you try and pry a fault. Oh, why is he doing this? Why is he doing that? Oh, I'm coming to the masjid, but he's not coming to the masjid. Then you go meet your friend and you say, you know, this guy, he never comes to the masjid. What's wrong with him? This and that, you start talking. This is how shaitan works. Look, there are many, many traps, and obviously within the few minutes that I have with you all, half an hour or 45 minutes, I can't discuss or touch on all the traps of shaitan. But I thought I would touch on these traps because at times we don't think of these as traps. We don't think of these traps as traps. We take them very, very lightly, and this is how shaitan gets to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. Moving on, trap number three. This is something I would say that applies to all of us, myself included. Consuming too much food. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, and the hadith is authentic, the son of Adam fills no vessel more displeasing unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than his own stomach. The son of Adam fills no container more displeasing unto Allah than his own stomach. A few morsels, a few mouthfuls should be enough for him to preserve his strength. But on the other hand, if he must fill his stomach, then let him fill one third of it with solids, one third of it with liquids, and one third of it with air. You're supposed to divide your stomach into three parts, one third of it for solids, one third of it for liquids, and one third of it for air. But we, on the other hand, you look at the Muslim community these days, obesity, all kinds of diseases. You look at all these restaurants, I'm not saying don't go, but think twice. You look at all these restaurants, who are the patrons of all these restaurants? Muslims. We are the biggest customers because we are always eating out. We're not making healthy choices. Yes, you can have your cheat meals, you can go out and eat once in a while, but even when you go out and eat, make wise choices. These days, any fast food joint that you go to, they have the upsize serving or the large serving. You ask, for example, a meal, they would say, do you want the large meal? And we think, oh, I'm paying 650 for the normal meal, and if I pay 700 rupees, I get the large meal. So that's more value for money. Let me buy that. And then we pay 700 rupees or 800 rupees, and then we buy this large meal that contains obviously a lot more calories. And the minute we buy it, we feel like, oh, I bought the large meal, I need to finish the whole thing, if I'm wasting food. And then we end up consuming so much more calories, resulting in what? If you're not an active individual, you're not going to burn the calories. All those calories is going to result in becoming fat. You know, all kinds of things that are bad for your body at the end of the day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in were fit, athletic and healthy individuals. So if you're following the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you need to be like him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You need to make healthy choices like he did sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because this is one other way that shaitan will get to you. He knows that if he makes you eat biryani for breakfast, lunch and dinner, you're not going to be able to get up and pray in salah. The minute you open up the Quran, you're going to doze off, you're going to fall asleep, you're going to be in and out of the hospital, you're going to keep falling sick. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, a strong believer is more beloved unto Allah than a weak believer. Both believers are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but a strong believer, a healthy believer, a fit believer, an athletic believer is more beloved unto Allah. Why? Because that believer will do more good deeds. That believer will be more energetic in his ibadah. Unlike the weak believer. So we have to all strive to become strong believers who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The final trap, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, and with that I conclude, is that he will somehow make you keep bad company. He will make you, shaitan will make you keep bad company, where you will stick or hang out with the wrong types of people. You're supposed to stick with the right company. You should be extremely careful in choosing friends, because your friends define who you are. The people that you hang out with, if someone looks at your friends, they will be able to define what kind of a person you are. There's a beautiful example. If you go hang out with a person who sells perfumes, what will happen? You may at times not buy any perfume from your friend, but the mere fact that you're hanging out with him, you're going, spending time with him, and you come out of his store, you will come out sweet smelling. Why? Because you were hanging out with a perfume seller. On the other hand, if you were to go and hang out with, this is just an analogy, not a direct example. I'm not saying that you must only hang out with perfume sellers and not hang out with blacksmiths, but there's a lesson behind this. If you were to go and hang out with a blacksmith, a person who forges steel, what will happen? You may not necessarily touch any of his tools, you may not necessarily help him out, but when you come out of his store, when you come out of his workshop, what will happen is that you will come out smelling of soot, you will come out smelling of burnt things, and at times even certain sparks might end up burning your clothes. This is akin to good company and bad company. You stick with the right people, their positive mentality, their positive attributes, their good manners will rub off on you. On the other hand, if you hang out with a bad company, if you stick with the bad people, you will end up becoming like them, because they will keep trying to push you into the same pit that they are in. So be extremely careful in choosing your friends. And if you find yourself hanging out with the wrong type of people, with negative people, people who are haters, people who talk bad, people who, you know, waste time from morning to evening gossiping and doing no good at all, cut your relationships with them, sever your relations with them, and move with them only for necessity. If there is a necessity, you move with them. If not, just keep your distance. That is the best thing that you can do for yourself, to save yourself from the evil that they are in. Because shaitan will make it sound, oh, he's your friend, you need to hang out with him, you need to go, you know, chill with him, you need to spend time with him, because he knows the more you spend time with him, because he has succeeded in misleading that individual, he knows that the more you hang out with that individual will pull you into the trap that he is in. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, these are a few of the traps of the devil. There are many other traps. Remember, the traps of shaitan are far and wide. There are traps waiting for you at every corner. If you are an intelligent believer, if you are an intelligent slave of Allah, you must study these traps and you must stay away from the traps of shaitan. If you wish to be successful in this world as well as the hereafter, and if you wish to be saved from becoming from the party of shaitan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. May Allah azza wa jal protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins. May He accept our good deeds. And just as how He unites us here in this masjid, may He unite us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen wa akhir da'wayan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.